I'd like to join in thanking Dave for his work. It's been a very long and very busy many years for Dave. And I think one of the things that we at WMATA should be very, very excited and fortunate for is that Dave is really an industry person that stands out throughout the industry. And we've been fortunate to have him for this time in order for him to bring the kind of work that's needed here to really turn WMATA in the direction of where we're going now. And so we've been, I think, fortunate to have you for as long as we've had. And we look forward to the contributions that you're going to make continuing in the industry that will benefit us in the long term. And we wish you well and thank you and thank your family for the time that you have given to us in this 24/7 environment that you've worked in.
Thank you very much.
I would only add, and I said this to Rich, the hardest job here in terms of time and demand and accountability, it's probably not the general manager's job, it's the chief of operations. And you have a reputation for being on the railroad, on the out at all hours of the day and night when needed, and have a reputation for a work ethic committed to the betterment of this place that is exceeded by hardly anyone. So while some of that is behind the scenes, it has not gone without notice about the dedication and commitment that you've personally put into this place practically on a 24/7 basis. So my standpoint, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
We have a motion and a second to approve the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. Again, Godspeed. Yes.
That I was voting against a proposal for him to depart. But something that came up for me as my colleagues were speaking that I feel compelled to say. As a new board member, I still consider myself a new board member. You know, the first concern I had was really about the effectiveness of management. And early on, I had a great confidence in the effectiveness of management and then turned my attention to other things. But I have to say, with the departure of the chief and now the departure of Dave, and certainly you have earned the right and deserve to go off and do whatever it is your heart desires. But as a director, I'm concerned. I know that we will rise to the occasion, but in my limited experience, there are two huge gaps that the individuals coming behind you would need to fill. And we feel confident that Rich will find the right people to add to the team to keep going. But I just wanted to go on the record to say that as a director, I do have some uneasiness about the transition and the team, given what your contributions have been. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. Could I just say one thing?
You can say anything you'd like, Dave. And you will anyway.
Well, thank you all again very much for the very kind and gracious words. It's definitely been an honor and a privilege to come here and work at WMATA. It's 25th year for me being in this transit industry. And so that was one of the things that drew me to come to WMATA was working afar, often wondering, why would we do things like that? Or why would we approach things in such a manner? There's incredible people here. I'm very thankful to Mr. Sarles, the executive staff, but most importantly to my management team and also to the employees. There's a lot of good things that are set in motion, and I really hope that they continue that effort. It takes that drive. It takes that dedication. Told Richard, you know, whoever they bring on board, hopefully they're not quite as crazy as the hours that I put in. You might want to question them, but it's just, it's something that I felt that was, you know, warranted and something that was needed, you know, at the time. But I can say that there's a lot of good talent here. There is a lot of good people. And I think given the opportunity and the continued support of the board and everything else, you're going to see some really awesome things. I'm really excited. I will be back for the 7K, without a doubt. because that for me is kind of the rebranding of WMATA. I mean, it started off with the 1000 series and it was new and it was brand and it was a wow. Now y'all have been very gracious in giving us the funds and such, and hopefully they continue there to rebuild this system, to start enhancing the system. And I think that some of the things that you'll be seeing that have been working off to the side that I'm kind of quiet about are going to start popping up. And again, with the leadership, it's very, very exciting. And the way I've left it with Mr. Charles was that, you know, I'm very thankful and, again, very appreciative. And if I was called upon again, I would probably think about it again. But for this time, professionally and personally, it's something that I need to move on. And you never know. It's a small world and a smaller industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One thing about to Artis's comment that I've been impressed with in both areas is that there have been a lot of management emphasis on succession planning and the development of a key core staff. It is a loss, but I think we're in a much better position now than we were several years ago about the ability to sustain that loss and to have a pool of talent here that allows us to carry on. So thank you for that as well, Dave. We have a report on the board's evaluation of the general manager. This completes Mr. Sarles' second year of service here at the authority, and that the board is part of the understanding that we had when we hired Richard that we would engage in a honest and open evaluation process that included Rich in that, and we have completed that, and that this was led by Ms. Hudgens because of her role as chair of the board over the last year. We now have a better framework for dealing with a performance review because the general manager has put in place a comprehensive key performance indicators process that allows us to review performance in 12 key areas on a quarterly and annual basis. In the meeting with the general manager, we understood that the general manager and the authority had exceeded their performance standards in 8 of the 12 areas. In 2 other areas, the authority was above its previous year actual performance and had only fallen slightly below the target. And we will see more of that as part of the review of the annual performance later in the board meeting. But there is now hopefully a firm link between our overall public performance review and our review of the performance of the general manager, which I hope we can do on an annual basis, have the final performance review done at this meeting, and then do a review of the general manager's performance. The board members, this is a process involving all of the board members and the evaluation. The board members rated the GM CEO as exceeding expectations in all areas of functional responsibilities. The board saw the greatest strengths of the GM CEO in providing leadership and staff directions in administering and interpreting board policy. All raters noted more attention in the area of personnel management and the general manager has fully agreed with that. The board specifically focused in its rating and discussion on the area of retaining, attracting, and awarding the best and brightest, and on the delivery of quality services, continuing areas of attention for 2013. And I would also think that that reinforces Ms. Hampshire Cowan's point about the pool of talent here growing continuously. In looking for the future, the board was concerned that being in the second year of a three-year agreement, that it was time to see if we could get an agreement about board's interest in having Mr. Sarles extend his contract term. We asked him if he would be willing to enter into a negotiation with the board about a two-year extension of his three-year contract, and he said he would, and we have started those conversations with him about what that would look like, and I look forward to bringing that back to the board in the near future. We have, in summary, a GM CEO that is fully committed to safety, is an effective leader who demonstrates a drive for excellence, is respected for his knowledge of the industry. He's highly regarded and well respected by all of the board and direct reports and the public. His result-oriented style of management inspires others and demonstrates the same dedication and work ethic. He's insightful, strategic-minded, and demonstrates courage and openness. During these years of constant change, the GM CEO has been able to continue to move the authority forward on a much more stable basis than the turbulence he inherited. His demonstrated success during 2012, and we look forward to having him continue to lead WMATA in the coming years. And that's a kind of summary of the evaluation, and I want to take the opportunity to thank the general manager for his continued leadership of the authority. We needed your calmness, your patience, and your firmness. So we are expressing our gratitude for that service and that professionalism with the review. So thank you. We have also on the agenda, as part of what the board committed to as a accountability tool, is a board self-assessment and self-evaluation summary. We have it before the board, and I'm not going to read it, but this process is one that we have learned is very functional for the board about addressing what has been, what's gone right and what's gone wrong within the board over the last year. And we will be releasing this as a public document at this board meeting, and would say that the discussion has been helpful, frank, and it reinforces the board's commitment to being a strong professional partner to a strong management team in helping guide the policy and direction of the authority over the coming years. We still can improve, and we will, and our commitment is that this self-evaluation process will continue to be an annual event, and that we will continue to release these as part of our accountability to all of you and the public. So thanks all of the people who have been involved in the board self-evaluation process, it takes an awful lot of time. It takes an awful lot of patience. And listening to all of the board members and comments, and I would particularly acknowledge Ms. Hines and Ms. Hudgens about the efforts that have gone into this. And I hope that we can sustain that level of enthusiasm going forward. Back to
Mr. Downs. It would be remiss if we didn't say that we have I have a tremendous amount of confidence in the new governance leadership, Mr. Dyke and Ms. Hampshire Cohen. I don't think there's any question that we will sustain our enthusiasm for this work moving forward.
Or else. That concludes my report. Next is the report by the general manager, Mr. Siles.
Good morning, and thank you for that evaluation also. Actually, good afternoon, I should say. Yes. Over the last several months, we have been focused on our business and strategic planning process, which has taken me to a number of forums before many public officials in the region to talk about our vision for the next generation of Metro. That discussion is important, and it will continue. But there's an urgent challenge before us today that demands our immediate attention. In short, our federal funding and fiscal stability is at risk with the looming sequestration cuts. The sequestration will impact WMATA in two ways. First, our capital rebuilding is at risk. We are keenly aware of the critical need to continue the safety and reliability improvements that are rebuilding the system. The sequestration cuts could adversely impact our $150 million in PREA funding. While we have already received half the allocation for current federal fiscal year through March 27th, the remaining half of funding could be impacted about 8%, which would mean about $12 million, and every dollar counts for us. We will never compromise safety, but certain projects would be deferred, and we will be prepared to provide more detail at the next Finance Committee meeting. On the operating side, it's about our ridership and consequently revenue from fares. Keep in mind that every 1% change in Metro ridership translates to $7.8 million in annual operating revenue. On a typical weekday, about 320,000 bus and train trips are taken by federal employees, generating about $820,000 in revenue. If, for example, those riders take 12 furlough days, as has been talked about, in the next 6 months, the revenue loss would be $10 million through September. I want to emphasize that this is an optimistic estimate that does not consider the effects on contractors and the private sector generally. As I mentioned previously, we will present more refined projections at the next Finance Committee meeting when more details of government actions are known. But let me take this opportunity to say that, like many others who have observed the process, this process now for many months, I am disheartened by the inaction to find a better solution to the budget challenges we are all facing. In stark contrast, it was encouraging this week to see the bipartisan action in Richmond that resulted in an innovative funding program that will support Virginia's transportation priorities for a generation. The program is a testament to the leadership of Governor McDonnell and his legislative colleagues and to creative funding for infrastructure that is essential to keeping our economy moving. We continue to be hopeful that Maryland will also act to fund necessary transportation investments. We're all anxious to talk about the future needs of Metro, as we have done over the last months in preparing the strategic plan. But it is absolutely essential that we not lose ground today. At a minimum, we need to hold the line on the federal funding that is crucial to continue safety investments and reliability improvements to the service for our customers. I know our delegation is working hard to ensure that these investments continue uninterrupted, and we deeply appreciate their leadership and bring attention to the negative impact sequestration will have on all of their constituents across the three jurisdictions. Now, the board resolution captured most everything I was going to say about the Kubitschek. However, it bears repeating. So you're going to hear some of it again because I want to say it personally. You know, as Deputy General Manager of Operations, Dave has been a leader in the Metro Forward campaign, rebuilding the ties department so we could rebuild the system. He has also embraced the need to create a safety culture, spearheading efforts that address critical NTSB and FTA safety recommendations, reducing employee and customer injuries, and working with labor leaders to create a close call program. He has been a major force in preparing for the launch of Silverline Revenue Service. And one of his legacies, as was mentioned earlier, will be the introduction of the new 7000 series rail car. That is really his personal contribution to Wilmot, I must say. On a personal note, I want to say, as I've said before, that there is no one at Metro who has worked harder than Dave. He has a passion for railroading, and he brought that to his job on a 24/7 basis. I will miss his late night, overnight, and early morning calls. Dave has helped Metro rebuild a strong foundation, and it's one we will build on. He has lived up to the standard to which I hold myself, the Athenian Oath, as he leaves this place better than he found it. And even as he leaves us, he has assured a seamless transition by assisting Rob Troop in assuming the duties as acting DGMO. Please join me again, because it deserves it again, in wishing Dave all the best in his future endeavors. Now I'd like to turn to our employee spotlight. On December 13th, a bus passenger witnessed the extraordinary actions of Metro bus operator Wayne Turnstall, and he brought it to our attention by submitting a written commendation. According to the passenger, a sight-impaired gentleman using a cane for assistance was crossing 11th Street when apparently the light changed and he ended up standing in the middle of the street with oncoming traffic from both directions. Mr. Turnstall immediately pulled his bus over, stopped it safely, and raced to the pedestrian's rescue. He halted the oncoming traffic and walked the pedestrian to safety. The passenger said that this all happened very quickly, and while most people in the area had no idea what was going on, she noticed it because she saw the driver fly out of the bus door and run, which caught her attention. Mr. Tunstall's swift and confident actions saved the pedestrian from a very perilous situation, and we applaud his commitment to safety. Today, we take the opportunity to thank Mr. Tunstall and recognize him for his assistance to the pedestrian. Please join me in the front. And that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Next, we have the Customer Service and Operations Committee. Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure you just wanted to say that. Mr. Chairman, the committee will have our presentation from Ms. Burnside. The committee did not report out there, but we would like the presentation from Ms. Burnside in presenting the vital signs report. And the vital signs report is attached to our item. And that presentation recognizes the progress that has been made, not only over year to day, but the quarterly report. And okay, we have it. Am I getting okay, Ms. Burnside? I'm going to turn it over to you at this time.
Thank you very much. We have the PowerPoint up there. Good afternoon, Chairman Downs, and members of the board. I'm happy to be here in this larger forum today to share the annual calendar 2012 performance results and the progress we've made since last year, including different actions that we're taking to address challenge areas, and then finally how we're building a performance management structure and culture here at WMATA. Next slide, key results. The good thing is nothing that I'm going to say to you today really is new, because over the last year, the board has been closely tracking the performance results via the quarterly vital signs reports, the safety and security updates that you get on a regular basis. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, you received the security update from Chief Taborn. But this is an opportunity to look back over the full year and reflect on the progress we've made. Looking at the measures that we track and that you hold the agency accountable for, the news is very good. We've improved over 2011 in 10 of 12 areas. And just to clarify, Mr. Downs mentioned the number of measures in the general manager's performance review. There's a couple extra measures in vital signs. That's why the number's a little bit different. So 10 of 12 areas. First, we've improved on the measures that matter the most to customers, timely and reliable delivery of transit services. Our weekday rail on-time performance has continued to improve for two consecutive years and has been above our target. And we accomplished these results by closely balancing the need to deliver on-time performance with the need to do track work. And kind of an example of that is if we looked at a month last year in 2011 when we were doing midday track work on the blue, yellow, and red lines, it really dragged our on-time performance down to 89%. If you look forward to 2012, same time frame, not doing midday track work, we saw our on-time performance level rise up to 92%. So we've been carefully trying to balance that. We've actively managed our train spacing. We successfully implemented Rush Plus in the middle of the year. And as I'll talk about in just a moment, we improved our rail car availability. On the bus side, bus on-time performance has continued to improve also for each of the last 2 years as we continue to make schedule changes to improve service and reflecting increasing demand. I think vital signs referenced 70 service changes, but in fact, I stand corrected because I believe it's almost double that over the last 12 months. I think I was told it's about 140 plus service changes. Bus service operations managers are actively monitoring service in real time. And if you look at 2012 each month, our on-time performance was better than the prior year in all months but two. Looking ahead to January of this year, which you'll hear about the quarterly report on sometime in May, we are continuing that positive trend with the third year in a row in January of improving our on-time performance on bus. And access on-time performance remained above target for 11 of 12 months last year. The second key message is that better maintenance of our vehicle fleet and equipment is giving customers better service. From successful engineering fixes on our railcar doors to adding new buses and making warranty fixes on our existing fleet to escalators that run longer, and then when they do break down, we get them fixed faster. Our rail fleet reliability has improved 13%, and particularly in the last quarter of the year, if you look at the trend chart in the vital signs report itself, the actions that car maintenance and engineering have taken to get to the root cause of our persistent door problems has resulted in perhaps the single most dramatic improvement in this measure. We saw an overall improvement in reliability throughout the year that translated to about 5,500 more miles before a delay. And in fact, if you look at the very last quarter of 2012, it's 28,000 more miles before a delay.
I have more slides in the book. Are you advancing through, or?
I'm going to go to the green light slide in just a second. Just kind of wanted to give an overall. So, yeah, he's got my notes, so he knows what slide I'm supposed to be on. Our bus fleet reliability improved 9%. We put 147 buses into service and retired the same number of older, less reliable buses. We removed 100 deficient engines during the CNG bus midlife overhaul. And we worked with our bus engine manufacturers to resolve some electrical component issues on some of the hybrids, which impacted about 350 buses. Also, our preventative maintenance programs identified problem areas early before they impeded our service. And as a result of the progress we've made on our fleet reliability for bus, we've actually going to be increasing to a more aggressive target this year, 2013, of 8,100 miles between failures. Our escalator availability improved 5%, again demonstrating that better maintenance pays off. We have more escalator elevator mechanic on board, and they've been focusing their resources on the stations with the lowest availability. As I mentioned before, the time to repair an escalator has gone up. In fact, it's gone up by 35%. And the next message, Metro is safer. Our customer and employee injury rates have improved and have continued to meet the continuous improvement targets the general manager has asked for each year. The customer rate dropped 10%. We've got more safety announcements and literature that encourage customers to watch their step on escalators and when carrying large bags. The top two injuries are slips, trips, and falls, and collision-related injuries. Our employees worked carefully to keep platform areas clean, and we've replaced broken tiles. The employee injuries decreased to 5.04 injuries per 200,000 work hours. It's down for the second year in a row. And you heard last month at the customer service committee about one of the strategies, the Keep It Green, which helps the operators avoid risky driving behaviors on the bus side. The return to work program and the at-risk program have been very effective. The at-risk program kind of focuses on employees that have more than two injuries in 24 months and helps them try to avoid those in the future. We've seen a number of at-risk employees decline by about 11%. Mr. Doherty is going to be coming to you next month to give a little more detail on the safety achievements as a look back over 2012, so I won't say anything more about that. But we are going to be changing our measure for employee injury rate, just so you know, to better align with industry practices. So we will be having a new measure, and we'll restate backwards the old numbers. And as Chief Tabor mentioned, another success in safety is our parking crime is way down. Okay, you can go to the next slide. I won't spend too much time on this, but basically this is kind of our red light, green light slide. So this shows the measures that we've improved over last year, which is the first column of green lights, where it says versus 2011. And then in the last column to the right shows whether we met our targets or not. So green, it's all green. So those are our performance successes. Moving to the next slide, we have our performance challenges. So we still had challenges in 2012. I talked about bus on-time performance having improved, so we've got a continuous improvement, but we still have a stretch target, and we did not quite meet our stretch target. Rail fleet reliability has a legacy target of 60,000 miles, and while we didn't meet the legacy target, as I mentioned, in the very last quarter of the year, we saw a huge improvement, so we expect that improvement to continue and to have very dramatic results continuing into this year. Elevators improved from 2011, but came just shy of the target of 97.5. And Chief Tabor already delivered a fairly detailed report on crime a couple weeks ago, so I won't go into a lot of detail on that. I would like to say a few words about complaints. In 2012, our customers weren't shy about communicating their concerns. Our complaints largely stemmed from major schedule changes on both bus and rail systems, in part to prepare for introduction of Silver Line service next year. As I already mentioned, we made over 100 bus service changes, and that often shows up in complaints as delay, late, no-shows, not servicing stops as folks get used to the new schedules. But complaints about rude behavior and unsafe operation on the bus side continued to drop throughout the last quarter of the year. And we recently received some media coverage about our CARE program, Customers Are the Reason We Exist. And that's underway, and we feel that that's starting to reflect in our numbers, dropping in this area for rude and discourteous behavior. We also had some controversial advertising, and we often see a spike in complaints when we have controversial advertising that showed up in our measure. On the other hand, our commendations improved. On the bus side, again, they reflected improvement in bus operator safety and courtesy, a tribute to the We Care program. And Access saw a 26% improvement in commendations. Turning red to green, next slide. So what are we doing to address the lights that are currently red and turning them green so that next year when I'm sitting here, you'll be looking at all green lights, which is our hope. For the challenge areas, which we're supporting initiatives to thwart thieves. You've heard of bricking, which basically renders stolen electronic devices turns them into bricks. And we hope that will lower the snatch rate. We're providing crime prevention tips to customers. We are mentioned the CARE training, the customer service training for bus operators to improve their skills. New customer survey, which is called the Quarterly Voice of the Customer. We have new tools for customers like the flat screens in the stations. We're advancing the Better Bus Initiative, which includes more schedule improvements, more Metro Extra limited stops, routes. We're increasing the rehabilitations in Eastern Market, Gallery Place, Bethesda, and Van Ness. And we continue to strengthen our maintenance teams so that we can reduce the time to repair by improving shared access across our three shifts. And this is a pyramid that shows how we are trying to align under a performance management structure here at WMATA. And I think at the top of the pyramid is the strategic direction you mentioned earlier about putting into place momentum. The board has provided the agency with clear direction with the vision, mission, and goals as to what we should be working towards, and that's very helpful. And as Mr. Downs said back in January, focusing on performance data helps everyone be accountable for specific performance. It's a powerful management tool and a tool for telling our story to the public. In the middle of the pyramid are the business plans that have been put together for the general manager. It's supported by business plans in the departments. And then at the bottom is the folks who have to actually get the work done. And I found this great quote from Stephen Covey. The bottom line is when people are crystal clear about the most important priorities of the organization and team they work for, they prioritize their work around these top priorities, then we can become more productive. So that is kind of how we're aligned here at the organization, and we continue to make progress. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Mr. Bolger?
I wanted to congratulate you. Go to page 19 of the vital signs, specifically the rush period passengers per car data that the board was interested in not having too many people crushed into rail cars, and it looks to me that we're making really good progress on loadings. It's particularly over the last part of August, September, October, where we only had a few increases on the orange and the blue, but we're way below on loadings on most of the rest of the rail cars and the sample, at least, that you gave us. So I think that's a good sign for the board to note. That was it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on? Thank you again. I think the board has indicated that it would like to do this on an annual cycle as a review of the each year's key performance indicators, and to do it at a full board meeting so that we have a link between the system's performance and the general manager's performance review and our own self-evaluation.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, I meant to ask this.
Yes.
This question, there were some comments that were made at the outset that weren't included in the presentation, some kind of summary comments about the results. I think it would be helpful.
Yes
also to to have those things that you mentioned also written down as an attachment or an additional slide.
I pulled most of my comments out of the vital signs report itself, kind of pieces out of different pages, but I'm happy to compile them for you.
Sure. Well, you have, seems like, because you read them.
Sure.
Also, if you could just include those, I think it would be helpful. Thank you.
Will do.
They're great talking points for those of us who go back to our jurisdiction.
Thank you.
Chairman, once again, it proves that what gets measured gets managed and gets us results.
Or if it doesn't, if you don't count it, it doesn't count. Thank you. Next, we have a report by the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. Ms. Bowser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, there's one action item for the board's consideration from the Real Estate Committee. This item.
I have to just note I'm recusing myself from the next matter, so I'm sorry, didn't call us here.
Thank you. And I'd like to ask the staff to introduce the item. It was fully discussed in our committee meeting, and I'd like to turn to Mr. Soros to have that
Carol Kish will do the report.
Thank you.
So the action the board is taking on this item today is to amend the joint development agreement between the developer and WMATA. In 2000, in the year 2000, to give some background, the board had approved an agreement between WMATA and the then developer, which was Metroland LLC. At the time, to pursue relocation of the FBI headquarters to a Greenbelt Metro site. The action today is to amend the joint development agreement to allow the developer for the assignment, which is an existing clause in the agreement, to Prince George's County. An assignment right already exists in the current signed agreement. Because the FBI solicitation process has taken quite a bit of time, longer actually than expected, this act would also extend the cutoff date from March 1, 2014 to September 1, 2014, or to the expected date of award in the federal solicitation. WMATA would cooperate with any other jurisdiction in the same matter to promote transit-oriented development. This is the action that's before the board.
Thank you, Ms. Kissel. And as I mentioned, Mr. Chairman, the committee in its regular meeting considered this a week ago, and I would move the amendment for the board's consideration.
Motion made and seconded by Mr. Dyke. Any discussion or questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. Report with someone would get Mr. Acosta.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, might I just add that the committee also in its last meeting had a discussion and presentation from staff about the joint development process. And staff reviewed the current process and procedures and also reviewed those in light of the recent governance committee actions. The committee recommended that the current code of ethics and procedures and any areas where it implicated the joint development process be updated, an action which we'll also take today.
Is that a, I'm a bit, we don't have it.
That was just a report of what the committee, some committee activity.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you. Soundproof booth.
A report by the Finance and Administration Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Finance and Administration Committee met on February 14th and referred two items to the board for their consideration. The first matter is that the committee recommended that the board authorize the general manager to execute the Maryland 355 crossing at the Medical Center new entrance memorandum of agreement and to negotiate and execute a reimbursable construction support agreement between WMATA and Montgomery County. I would like to move approval of this matter.
Moved it. You're seconding it?
Yes.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed. The second item is?
Yes, the committee also recommends to the full board that we amend the FY13 capital reimbursable project budget and authorize the general manager to enter an agreement with the City of Alexandria to purchase 6 40-foot buses for the Crystal City Potomac Yard Transitway. I'd like to move approval of this resolution.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move. I'm going to get used to this. I do this too often. I'd like to step aside. This is a project in Ms. Hines' area. Worked with Alexandria and have her vote on this form.
So I would be pleased, in Ms. Hudgens' absence, to second Mr. Acosta's motion.
No further comment from the seconder?
Well, as I said at the committee meeting when we discussed this is a project that Arlington and Alexandria have been working on for quite some time. We're excited to hopefully open within the next 12 months one of the first dedicated transit way in the region. And we know that we'll be a pilot and there will be glitches and things to be worked out, but we're excited to be leading that work and grateful for the board's support of this particular project.
A motion made by Mr. Acosta and seconded by Ms. Hines. Any further discussion? Mr. Downey?
Just to note that in the long development of bus rapid transit projects, which has been occurring around the country, this one is probably ahead of all the others in terms of truly meeting what is expected as a bus rapid transit investment. Hope it will be a shining example of success for others.
Right, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we will start out with buses, and we believe we will move to streetcar and bus combined to meet varying needs in our region.
And it will be the first attempt to operate on a ticketing at the,
right,
at the stop.
Right, what they call off-vehicle fare collection.
And I think we're all anxious to see how that will turn out.
We are, too.
A motion made and seconded, hearing no further comment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Report by the Governance Committee, Mr. Dyke.
Mr. Chairman, as the new chair of the Governance Committee, I'm in the position of presenting something that already was worked up, and I wanted to commend Mr. Barnes and Ms. Hines for all the extraordinary work that they put in looking at the Code of Ethics, and this has been discussed over a number of months. And you have before you a document which reflects the various changes that have been proposed, including some that were proposed this morning. You have a red line version in front of you with a couple of word changes. With those changes in mind and noting also what Ms. Bowser said earlier, that we incorporated a reference to the joint development process in this, I would point out that this proposal does include the creation of an ethics officer for the first time for the board, which I think is an outstanding move, and we look forward to the executive committees moving forward on that. So with that lead in, I would like to move the adoption of the Code of Ethics as proposed.
Second.
Motion made and seconded.
Mr. Chairman,
discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just a question. We really need to move the resolution, and the reason is that there is encapsulated in the resolution is a change to the procedures to align them to the Code of Ethics. So I'm sure that's what Mr. Dyke
yes,
meant to do.
That's exactly what I meant. Ms. Hines.
Accept it. Accept it.
Clarification accepted.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We have an approval of the revised 2013 board committee assignments. It should be in your packet.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. Reports by jurisdiction. The district has nothing to report. WSTC.
Yes, I would like to make one observation. This actually relates to our employees, staff. I was privileged to be invited to join the staff at a program presented this week, commemorating the 150th signing of the Emancipation Proclamation and the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, and this was a program sponsored by the Office of Civil Rights of the WMATA, and I won't call individual names because from everything I could observe, a whole lot of staff participated in organizing and managing the event. The theme was Words Matter, and it was an examination of those two historic events on our community and on our country through the eyes of the African-American press. And invited to participate in a panel were the African-American, the Afro-American newspaper, which was founded in 1892, Mr. John Oliver, who was the chairman of the board and publisher of the paper, participated on the panel. Also participating on the panel was Ms. Denise Rollark Barnes, who is the daughter of the late Calvin Rollark, a civil rights activist and the founder of the Washington Informer. And the program was outstanding. I was privileged to be there and bring greetings on behalf of our board and the organization, but really just as a participant and as a listener. It was a thoughtful program. A lot of employees participated and came and listened, and it was done during their lunch hour, so they did not sacrifice time to their jobs, but it was a very thoughtful program and really was very well received. And I want to thank the employees for inviting me to participate and to be there, and I want to congratulate them and thank them for putting on that program because it was very well done. Thank you.
And thanks as well to the staff. NDTC.
I think it's important that we reference, as Mr. Sauls did, the approval of the transportation legislation in Virginia and what it means to WMATA and what it means, hopefully, as a beginning step of transportation, addressing the transportation issues in Virginia. I think we will have to continuously be vigilant on the transit aspect of that. The transit part is not the strongest part of that legislation, and it is a very critical part, but we acknowledge the progress that was made, and I think we look forward to continuing progress.
Hopefully we can optimistically look forward to action from the state of Maryland. Federal Government, Mr. Downey.
I would just echo the comments that the General Manager and CEO made about sequestration, and that it is deplorable that nothing is happening, but by midnight tomorrow, we'll be into a new phase of how we deal with that. And the impact on Metro has certainly been noted, when not the overall impacts of congressional inaction have been brought to public attention.
That concludes the board's formal agenda. If there is nothing else to be brought to the board's attention, I would move for adjournment.
So.
Motion second. Made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Done.
Good job.